my brother.
Just don't quit.
Don't you dare give up.
Hold on.
Hey, whatever you do, my
don't
sister.
Give up.
You're not made to walk in defeat.
How about when we need to believe God for something that is not material? It's not something that we can put our hands on, but it is something that we truly need. Think about that now. Something that we need, but it's not material. It's not clothes. It's not cars. It's not even money. It's not another house. I'm not saying that it's wrong to have, to want, or to even need those things. No. That is not bad. I've said that many times before, so we should be straight on that. We should be together on that. I've said numerous times that I don't think that there's a problem with people even being wealthy as long as they obtain their wealth in a way that is pleasing to God. But what else do we need? What else do we want that is not material in nature at all? We can't put our physical hands on it. We can't see it with our physical eyes. All right, how about this, for example? I deliberately gave you a little bit of time to think about that, but okay, what else? How about peace? I mean, think about how much so many people need peace. Rich people need peace. Poor people need peace. Righteous people need peace. Wicked people need peace. By their wickedness, they push it further and further away from themselves, but everyone needs peace. How about joy? How about the ability to do well with our studies? The ability to do well, just the intellectual ability to do well with our studies, the intellectual ability to do well with our studies. How about the ability to communicate effectively? Husband and wife really need to communicate effectively, and let's just assume they truly love each other. Truly, they're not playing games. The husband truly loves his wife. The wife truly loves her husband. And they're both committed to doing their part to make a beautiful marriage, to make their marriage beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, that is commendable. But they're still going to need to work at it. And one of the things they'll need to do is learn to communicate effectively with each other. That needs to be a part of their couple's lifestyle, their marriage partner lifestyle. Remember, the two shall become one. And so they learn to listen and to truly hear each other and value what the other is saying. And I mean valued enough that, hey, you know what? I recognize what you're saying is right. The idea that you're proposing is a good one. Let's go with it. It doesn't matter whether it's the husband acknowledging that the wife has come up with a good proposal or the wife is acknowledging that the husband has come up with a good proposal. It doesn't matter who comes up with the good proposals the most. It's not about competing with each other. It's about cooperating with each other to make the marriage beautiful. So they learn to communicate with the hearts as well as with the mouths. Yes. And when it comes time to laugh with each other, comes time to share sexual love, they connect, they communicate not only with the heart and not only with words, but with emotion. That's right. They share their excitement about being with each other. Communicating effectively. And that's not something that everyone does naturally. Usually people have to work at developing the ability to communicate effectively. Can God help us develop that ability? He sure can. Now, we may have to really exercise some faith. We may have to really exercise hope to get it to happen. But God can help us with that. He can help us experience the peace. You know, I'm thinking again, Philippians. I know a lot of people, it can be so easy, so tempting, especially, you know, with all the madness that is increasing in our world. It can be so easy to just want to allow ourselves, even if subconsciously, to be overcome by anxiety. But you know, God had his apostle Paul to encourage us not to be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Simply present our request to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What if we just kind of haven't gotten that down? Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. What if we just haven't gotten that down, how to really and truly present our request to God and then let his peace rule in us? Let his peace prevent our hearts and our minds from just going to pieces in worry, fear, anxiety. And for some people, it may be harder for that to happen than for others. But you know what? Faith and hope can come together to empower us to keep believing that God will help us, because we can't do it on our own. God will help us begin to experience less and less anxiety and more of his peace. Until we grow to the point, because it's usually not going to happen overnight, we grow to the point where no matter what the situation is, we are able to experience God's peace to the point where it truly amazes people, including us, that we're able to experience peace. Don't have our blood pressure just steadily going up, 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 because we're experiencing so much of God's peace. In the midst of the storms, even protracted storms that just don't seem to be willing to go away, but we know God causes the storms to go away at some point. The Creator is greater than any storm, and he is greater than anyone who makes the storms, who causes the storms. Sometimes God causes those storms to punish us for our sin. But very often, especially for those of us who are truly following God faithfully, other people who don't like the fact that we're following God faithfully bring these storms up. But God can calm those storms and shut those storm makers down at his appointed time. He wants us to practice experiencing, truly experiencing, not just reading about, not even just talking about, but actually experiencing his peace day in and day out, no matter how great the storm. Remember the storm that Peter and the rest of the disciples, the 12 disciples, were in when the Lord Jesus told them, cross over to the other side while I stay here in this mountain and pray. And so the Lord Jesus stayed in the mountain and prayed until the wee hours of the morning. The disciples, in the meantime, had gotten caught in that storm while they were about midway across that lake. And that storm would not let them proceed any further. They rode and rode and rode and rode and rode and rode and could not make any more progress. And the Lord Jesus, who had completed his time of prayer, watched them from the shore, struggling with the oars to continue. And this is one of the things that really impresses me about what the disciples did. The Lord Jesus had told them, go to the other side. They did not try to go back the way they came from. They kept trying to make it to the other side. The Lord Jesus finally began his walk. He walked through the storm on the sea. Depending on where you're reading, you might call it the sea, you might call it a lake. Same body of water being referred to. He walked on that water through the same storm that the 12 of them could not row through. He walked through. The boat was catching the brunt of that storm that those 12 disciples were in. Most of that storm wasn't hitting them directly. A lot of it was hitting the boat. They couldn't make any headway. The Lord Jesus walked through it on the water. Let's look at that some more when I come back. We're talking faith and hope here, ladies and gentlemen.